Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Omed Beis. Six lines from the bottom begins the Gemara Varam Rav Chisda Esen of Arba Matanos. As we've been speaking so extensively, Baruch Hashem, about the Matnas Kahuna, says the Gemara, the Esrim, but the 24 Matnas Kahuna that we've learned and we'll discuss, the Gemara will, Mitzvah Hashem, identify them. Kol Kayin She'ene Baki Behen, any Kayin that is not familiar with the Halacha, as we learned in the end of our previous year, that the Halacha is that one has to eat the Matnas Kahuna, Kederach, Melachim in a special way. The aloch is a nice matana. We shouldn't give him a matana. However, points out the Maram Shik, when the Gemara is teaching us this halacha, who we should or shouldn't give the matnas kuna to, says the Maram Shik, this is only if there's we have two kahanim. One kain is a baki, who's an expert, and one kain who's not an expert. That's what the Gemara says, give it to the kain who's an expert. But if it's a place where the only kain available is a kain who's not a baki, suggests the Maram Shik that of course we should give that kain the matnas kuna and not ignore giving him the matnas kuna. V'lam milsehi. Furthermore, says the Gemara, the halacha is that one may give the matnas kuna to a kain who's not such an expert. As we find the Tanya, as we learn in the Brayso, of Shimon, I'm a kol kain she'ena moed ba'avoida, a kain who doesn't believe Brashi's pshat, that doesn't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that told us to bring kabanas. He believes that Moshe Rabbeinu came up with this idea of kabanas all by himself. Dritva does not agree with this pshat. He says somebody who doesn't believe that all of the Torahs in the Shemayim, somebody who believes that Moshe Rabbeinu made this up all by himself, is a kaifa baker. And if somebody, Rachman Tzlan, is a kaifa baker, he's certainly disqualified from receiving matnas kahuna. And therefore, there are those that suggest that his opinion is that bring kabanas and all the halach of the kabanas are not absolutely necessary. They were only a mitzvah. It's a nice thing to do. Another pshat that Chassam Sofer suggests that the entire purpose of bringing the kabanas is that to stay away from avodah zarah. In those times, it was very prevalent that people, when they worshipped avodah zarah, would bring kabanas for the avodah zarah. And somebody who takes this type of an ideology that believes that the entire purpose of kabbonis is just to stay away from avodah zarah, so even though he's not denying the value of kabbonis, but he's making an incorrect understanding of what kabbonis are all about, and because he has this incorrect understanding of what kabbonis are all about, that's why the Gemara says that he is disqualified from doing the avodah. But the Chassam Sofer himself asks a question, because he asked that the Rambam and the Maran Nevuchim quotes, actually, that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to bring kabbonis is to stay away from avodah zarah. So how can we say that somebody who's actually following the opinion of the Rambam is considered somebody who's not moida ba'avodah? So Chassam Sofer quotes a Marit who says that the Rambam Diyat Chazaka at the end of Hilchos Meila clearly takes the position that bringing kabbonis has very deep meaning, and it's not just here to avoid avodah zarah. Certainly, says the Marit, the Rambam opinion is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wanted us to accomplish whatever we accomplish with kabbonis, he could have done it without kabbonis. He had the reason why he was done with kabbonis is because also to dissuade them from worshipping avodah zarah. But not, and the Rambam means to say, says the Chassam Sofer, based on the Marit, that one would think that maybe by being kabbonis, it would make us closer, chas v'shom, to avodah zarah, because that was the way the Nochrim worshipped their avodah zarah. So, therefore, teaches us the Rambam that no, that it is a deterrent for Avodah Zarah. But not Chas V'Shalom suggests to some cipher that the entire purpose of Kabbonis is only to avoid Avodah Zarah. The Chavetz Chaim says that the Pshat in the Gemara is that somebody believes in all the Kabbonis, but he doesn't believe in that he as a Kohen has an obligation to bring Kabbonis. And somebody who doesn't feel that he as a Kohen has that obligation, therefore halacha is he should not be entitled to get Kabbonis. There's a Machloikus Rishonim that what is he excluded from? Rashi's opinion is that he's excluded from getting a shear in Kabbonis, whereas the Rambam's opinion is that he loses his shear from getting any type of kachim. By acting this way, he has sort of distanced himself from being a kohen. In fact, I saw a question that the Paiskim discuss: what would be the halacha if somebody did a pinyan haben with a kohen who's a mechal Shabbos? It could be that according to the Rambam, according to Rashi, b'di'evid, it would be a valid pinyan haben. According to the Rambam, he would take a stronger approach. Of course, another consideration that we have to take is if this kohen is a tinik shenishbar. If the kohen who's in this category is a tinik shenishbar, therefore it might be a different status that we could maybe be more lenient. Which opens up an interesting question that I saw the Paiskim discuss, the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. What will be the halacha if a man, Rachman Slan, dies without children, and the only brother, and he leaves over brothers, and we know the brothers have to do essentially Yibam Chalitza B'Zmanazeh. So certainly it seems that all the Paiskim are in agreement where if there's two brothers, so the Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that typically we go to the older brother, but if here it's a situation where the older brother is Rachman Tzlan, somebody who is not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and the younger brother is, we should certainly have a younger brother do the Chalitza. But what happens if there's only one brother? There's a discussion between the Avni Nezer and the Marsham, going back obviously to a woman in Europe who lost her husband and there were no children. And the only brother who was left is a brother who had immigrated to the United States. The way the tshuva reads is he had immigrated to Portland, Oregon, and he was completely irreligious. And the question is that woman still obligated to have chalitza? It's obviously very complicated. She was in Europe, he was in America. And there are many different suggestions how to look at this question. It seems that the Paiskim are not that quick to consider an individual a mumer just because he's irreligious. Only if a person has connected himself, Rachmana Litzlan, to another religion, can we consider him a mumer. On the other hand, there's a discussion, who has the Chiv Chalitza? The woman, and therefore she can't get remarried, or it's the man who is the brother of the husband that passed away. And therefore, it seems that both the Marsham and the Avni Nezer are of the opinion that even though this person is irreligious, and maybe if there was another brother, certainly the other brother should do the Chalitza. Here, if he's the only brother, there is an obligation of Chalitza, even though his status is that, even irrespective of what his status is. Continues the Gemara. Ainli Elizabavad, we will only learn when these avoidus, Menayim Rebbe's Chamisha Esa avoidus, the avoidus that are mentioned, I'm sorry, the Pasuk says, how do we know that he doesn't get a shear in the carbon? So we see that the person like this is not entitled to get the Chaz of a Shoik. Continues the Braisa, Enli Elazar Bevad, so this only speaks about this halacha, Menayim Rebbe Chamish Esra Avoidus, that there are other Avoidus that belong to the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, that if a Kohen is Einem Moide Behem, he is disqualified from them. What are examples? Kohen Yitzikos, we know that when the Korban Mincha is brought, actually as we learned in Masechta Menachos Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, when we bring a Korban Mincha, the oil is spilled three times. once it's spilled, when the keli is empty, and then afterwards, when they put in the flour, they pour water, that they pour oil again. And after we mix that oil and flour, we pour oil another time. Fablilas, the mixing of the flour with the oil. Hapsichas, when we learned Masechta Menachos as well, we learned that you have to crumble the Karban Mincha. Fameliches, we have to salt all kabanas. Akol kabancha, takriv melech. Tanufa, that the halacha is that we have to do tanufa on the Karban Mincha. We have to do tanufa on Shtei Alechem. And actually, I saw the Rishonim that suggest that by all Kabbanis, there's a mitzvah to do Tanufa. Vagoshes, we have to bring the Karban Mincha next to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Vakamitza, as we know, when we bring a Karban Mincha, we take off a Kamitza, that's the part that's burnt on the Mizbeach. Haktaris, and then we burn the Kamitza on the Mizbeach. Vamalikas, when we bring a bird as a carbon, the way the bird is eliminated is by doing malika. The kabbalas, we know that all kabbanas have to have kabbal sadam before we do the zrika sadam on the mizbeach. Hazos, when we have to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, on different places, sometimes on the parochus. Hashkar saita, a husband accuses his wife. The halacha is that he brings her and he does the whole process of a saita. Arifas egla rufa, when there's a person, there was a body that was found murdered and we don't know who did it. The halacha is that we go through our, we measure which is the closest city to the corpse, and that city brings a calf, and we go through the egla rufa process. Taras mitzayra, that the mitzvah has to bring birds, nesis kapayim, duchening, beim efnim, whether it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, meim v'bechutz, or duchening that's not only done in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's done everywhere. How do we know that a kohen that's not moed b'avoida is not allowed to participate in these avoidas? Tamaloymer, the pasuk says, ha-makrif dam ha-shlam ha-schele b'bnei Aaron. We learn from here, ka-voida ha-masura b'nei Aaron. There are certain avoiders that are the responsibility of the Bnei Aaron. The kol kohen she'ena moedba, and any kohen who doesn't follow the halachas, ein lo chenek b'kahuna, does not have a share in the kahuna. There are other avoiders, Tosfos point out, that carry the same halacha, trumas adeshen, the siddush shnei gezer etzim, anything that's done on the actual Mizbeach. But Taisha says that, as is common in the Gemara's lists are usually not completely exhaustive, not complete. However, Taisha does say that there's certain avoiders that are allowed to be done by Yisrael. We often learn the halacha, the shechita k'sher b'zar, the shechita can be done by a zar. And in those cases, says Taisha, if a kohen is not moiden, those avoiders, that is not considered disqualification. Says the Gemara, Tana de'ena moideba. The whole point, says the Gemara, is that because he doesn't accept these avoiders, ha moideba, but if he accepts his avoider, avgav de'ena bakbehen, even though he's not an expert in them, then he is not disqualified, not like Rav Chisda began his shir. Amrav Abba, Amrav Huna Marav, chutn belechi. We have been discussing that the kohen, that the matnas kuna include the lechayim, the cheeks, but there are blood vessels in the cheek, and those blood vessels are included in the blood that we're not allowed to have. And actually, the Rashba makes a very interesting point. The Rashba says that part of the lechayim is giving the kohen the tongue of the animal. And the Rashba says that in the tongue, there are also blood vessels that have to have the blood removed from them before we may eat them. So says the Gemara, chutn shebelechi asurin, we may not eat that blood, consume that blood. The kol kohen she'eino yode litlan, any kohen who's not aware of how to remove that blood, ein nois l'metana, we're not allowed to give him the cheek, the tongue, if he's chas v'sholem going to come to eat them. However, it says v'loihi, that's incorrect. If as the Gemara in our previous shir said, that he's going to roast it, which is the preferable way. So the halacha is made of davia. Whenever you roast a piece of meat with blood, what happens is then the blood will come out. V'ilakdeira, and if you're going to cook it, and as we explained in the previous shir, if a kohen prefers to eat the matnas kuna by cooking rather than roasting, he may do so. The halacha is either the michtechle malachle. So the way I saw two pshatim in this Gemara. One pshat that the Gemara is saying is that everybody, it was most common that whenever somebody cooked meat, they would cut it and salt it. So you're going to accomplish what you need to cut. Or another pshat that I saw is that everybody was familiar with this basic halacha of salting meat. And therefore, that's the way made of davia. That's the way the blood is going to come out. And therefore, there's no reason not to give the kohen the cuts of meat and be concerned that he's going to eat blood, that he's going to consume blood that he made. Not. I'm Rav Abadik and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenged us with questions. Hi, Kanadim Chotef Mechtanosa. A kohen who takes the matnas kuna from children that are carrying it to a kohen. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara according to the Chasam Sofer, if the owner of the matnas kuna chose and gave the matnas kuna to a specific kohen, so then it becomes the property of that kohen. Once it becomes the property of that kohen, somebody taking it away is just acting as a ganef. And that's not what possibly could have been the question. Furthermore, if the person who was asked to carry the matnas kuhuna to the kohen is an adult, so then again, the halacha assumes, explains the Chasam Sofer, that this person, the shliach who's carrying it, is being zoich in it for that kohen, and therefore it already becomes the kohen's as well. What we're speaking about here is a case where he asked, as I said, Rashi says, he asked children to carry it. By him asking children to carry it, so the owner gave it away, it doesn't become the property of the kohen because children don't have that ability to be zoich in it. And therefore the question is, how do we look at this situation? Do we say chavuviko chavav mitzvah? This that he's acting this way is just a demonstration of how much he loves the mitzvah, or is a zuzuk mitzvah, or it's really extremely disrespectful, or pashtunlei. And I answered based on what the pasuk says. The pasuk says v'nosel koin azrael l'chaim v'keva, and the pasuk says v'nosel give it v'loy shiito ma'atzmei. The koin should take it himself. Omra bai so bai comments. Originally, I would grab the matanas. Amina, and I said to myself, this is appropriate behavior, because I'm showing chavuvei kamachavna mitzvah. I'm showing how much I appreciate the mitzvah. So, of course, the Sefer Meshaloyach, it says, how do we understand this Gemara? Abaye is trying to say that what we're trying to learn from what the Gemara is teaching us is Abaye thought that this type of behavior of grabbing the matnas kuna is something which is most appropriate. And here, he hears them saying in the yeshiva, that, and he had his reasoning, as the Gemara says, chavuvei kamechav mitzvah, it shows his love to the mitzvah. But as soon as he heard in the yeshiva that that was an incorrect approach, he didn't start defending himself. What he did, he just stopped doing what he always doing, recognizing that this is not the way it should be done. Kivin the Shemano, once I heard what we just learned, v'nos v'loy shi'itu ma'atzmai l'chatifna, I stopped doing. Meimer Eimer, but he still would ask heavily, he would ask the owners of matnas kuhuna that they should please give me matnas kuhuna. However, says the Gemara, Kivin the Shemano l'hodatanya, once I heard what was taught in the Braisa, the Braisa speaks about the children of Shmuel, the sons of Shmuel, and the pasuk says, that they didn't follow the ways of their father, they went after money. What does that mean? They asked for their portion directly. And the Pasuk speaks about them derogatorily for that way. Says the Mara, Neiman Nami Lemenu. I no longer asked. The Rambam Paskins, Layaknef Hakoy Matonis, a coin shouldn't grab Matonis. Furthermore, a Layisha Lepiv, he shouldn't ask for them. Elm came noisen Lebekovid Neutel. Because, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that not only should he not ask or grab, he should ask, he should make sure that the entire procedure of giving the Matnas Kahuna should be done in the most respectful fashion. Anything else but doing it in that type of respectful fashion is something that he should avoid. So now, Kivin the Shemana al Hadatanya, but then he said, once I heard the Brisa that teaches us, Hatsnu Mashkim Shideyim, they used to give out Lechem upon him, and Baruch Hashem, there were many Kohanim that wanted to get the Lechem upon him. So nobody got more than a bean side. So what happened was, Hatsnu Mashkim Shideyim, the people who were well behaved, people who were quiet, would not take from it, by Gargar and Chalakim. People, other people would gate. So Mishkan Nama Shikakli, I didn't even take. The only time that I didn't take, besides Yom Kippur, because I didn't want Laksuka Nafshe B'Kohanim, I want everybody to realize that I want everybody to realize there's a Kohen. The way the Mepharshim explained this Gemara of a Tznuim Mishkan Yudeyim, the way I saw is that the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Poskim say that the halacha is that if you were going to get a kezayis of it, so then the kohanim are mekayim a mitzvah chila when getting kezayis. But here, as we just finished explaining, we're not going to get a kezayis. Since we're not going to get a kezayis, explain the Tosfos Shadim and other Rishonim that the mitzvah, once you're not getting the kezayis, is not a personal mitzvah on every kohen. Rather, the way to understand the mitzvah is that this matnas kahuna has to be eaten, the lechem upon him has to be eaten up. And since it's going to be eaten up through the gagorim, so therefore he felt that the right way to behave is to avoid, the right way to behave is avoid taking. And in fact, the Rama, quoting the Tshuvas Binyamin Zev, based on this Gemara, that it's improper to argue over any mitzvah. Apparently, he says that it was very, a lot of people wanted to have the mitzvah of Glila. And the Rama says that one shouldn't argue, try to grab that mitzvah. And the same, the Rama says, regarding being the Baal Tefillah. One should not grab the ability to be a Baal Tzibur. And the Rama says, in fact, that if a Shlich Tzibur is the Chazan, without the consent of the Tzibur, it's considered like an Aveira. And one shouldn't answer Amen after his Brachas. It's called Betzeya Beirach Nietz Hashem. The Tshuva Space Yehuda says that if two people are in a desolate area on Pesach, and there's only one kezayis of matzah between them, each one has an obligation to try to get that matzah for himself in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah that he has. And there's no reason, on the contrary, if one gets that matzah, there's no point in him giving the matzah to the other person, because it's in the category of chayecha koydmin. So the question is, how do we understand the psak of the Beis Yehuda, that each one of them should try to get the matzah? Well, we just learned that people who are refined don't try to get the lechem upon him. So the Aruch HaShulchan says there's a difference between a mitzvah which is obligatory, like eating matzah on Karban Pesach, and a mitzvah that's not particularly obligatory on any specific individual. As we explained, the lechem upon him is not a mitzvah that's obligatory on any specific individual. It's a mitzvah that the lechem upon him should be eaten. There, hatznuim ma'ishchim yedeyim. Particularly, as we said, that you're not mekayim a mitzvah when you're eating a lechem upon him, the Ritva's word, unless you're getting a kazayis. And since no one's going to get a kazayis anyway, that's why you could walk away. But here, if this person's going to get a kazayis of the matzah, that's what he should do. Ask the Gemara for lifras yadei. If all he's trying to accomplish is that he should get that people should recognize his akayin, so the Gemara asks, what he should do is just doing duchening, and by doing the siyas kapayim, then everybody will realize. Answers the Gemara, ansalei idnei. Rashi explains that ansalei idnei means at that time he was teaching talmidim, and there's nothing that comes before teaching talmidim, and therefore because the time of duchening was a time we taught the talmidim, that's why he is excused from doing the duchening. But we had to come up with another way to establish that he's a kohen. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw other rishonim explain, because those rishonim are not happy with Rashi's pshat, because they say that duchening doesn't take so much time. So if duchening doesn't take so much time, you could say the three psukim and go back to yeshir. And therefore they say that Abaya had stomach problems, and because he had these stomach problems, therefore he had no choice but to try to establish himself as a kohen by taking matnas kahuna once a year. And in fact, the Magen Avraham says that every kohen should do something at least once a year when to establish and that everybody should recognize that he's a kohen. And in fact, the reason that he did it on Erev Yom Kippur, so the Pash Pshat is that the reason he did it on Erev Yom Kippur is because on Erev Yom Kippur there was no yeshiva anyway, so it was a time that he could do it. Another pshat is that at Erev Yom Kippur, there weren't that many people there taking the Matnas Kuna. Getting a line to get the Matnas Kuna was time-consuming. But at Erev Yom Kippur, where everybody's most kohanim are busy with other things, it was an easier time for him to get the Matnas Kuna. Our Gemara just taught us that under certain circumstances, a Talmud Chacham giving a shir takes precedence over everything else. And there's a most interesting discussion here in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed. He discusses a shaila where there was a rav who was invited to be a masada kedushin at a wedding, and he was leaving the wedding right after the chuppah because he had to give a shir, but somebody told him that the behavior at this wedding will not be appropriate behavior, and the only reason they're behaving like they're supposed to behave at this wedding is because you are here. And the question is, should he remain there? And even though it will involve, as we just saw, how Abaye was so concerned about Bittul Torah, should he remain there even though it will cause Bittul Torah, or should he leave? So the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, he says, and Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that Abaye Shamel who gave the Kamali Itasub, Abaye overheard two men and a woman speaking to each other. Nagda v'nezel v'archa will get up early in the morning to travel, and they'll be alone. And Abaye says the Gemara, Amar Ezelah for finish be'meisura, I'm going to do whatever I can to stay near them, that they shouldn't come to the Avera of Yichud. Also Basrai Tlosa Parsav Agmi, he walked behind them, a difficult place to walk, the three parsi. Kav a parshim adad the shemina dekamen orchin rechikim v'tzabim v'sima. Abaye did what he can to avoid them from doing yichud. So says the Chashukei Chemed. As much as our Gemara is teaching us that a Talmud Chacham should never miss giving a shir, our Gemara, the halacha still will also teach us that we should do whatever a Talmud Chacham is still obligated to do whatever he can, that he should be that to stop people from doing something wrong. And he also says that if I just learned, we quoted the Magen Avraham, that every Kohen has the obligation to do whatever he can to establish himself as a Kohen, so it's connected to what we discussed in our previous year. So maybe what every Kohen should try to do, especially in our days where there aren't so many individuals who are able to, who there's not that many ways to prove that you're a Kohen, maybe what should be done is that a person should be a Kohen by opinion of Ben, and that's how everybody will recognize that he's a Kohen. However, the Cheshukei Chemed suggests that that might not be a great way of approaching it, because he says that, as we discussed in our previous year, there was a strong argument made in our previous year that you could give maybe the money of opinion of Ben to Yisrael who's married to a Kohenis. If that's the way you're going to accomplish the mitzvah opinion of Ben, then the halacha will be that that's not the best way of proving that you are a Kohen. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Hai Kan of the Islay Trubim Rabbanim B'Shvilo Say. If you have a Kohen who has a Talmud Chacham that lives in his neighborhood, but the Chikilei Milsa, and unfortunately that Talmud Chacham is having financial hardship, Liskilei Matanasa, he should make that the Matnas Kuna that he gets should be given to that person. But ask the Gemara, what the Gemara is suggesting is that even though he didn't get the Matnas Kuhuna yet, give it directly to that person. So the Gemara's question is, yes, if I got the Matnas Kuhuna, if the Kohen got the Matnas Kuhuna, now he'll present it, but he didn't get it yet, so how could he just have it transferred to this Yisrael? Answers the Gemara, the Makiri Kohana Leviya. Makiri Kohana Leviya is a very interesting concept. It's a concept that if everybody always gives the Matnas Kuhuna to a certain Kohen, that's considered as if it's his before he even got it. And therefore, since it's considered like his before he got it, so therefore, he could transfer it even though it never came into his possession. That's one pshat. Another pshat, it's not that it becomes his necessarily just because he always gets it. What it rather means is, because all the other Kahanim in this neighborhood are aware that this Kohen is the one that always gets the Matnas Kuhuna, what that means is that no other Kohen is going to expect to get the Matnas Kuhuna. So it sort of becomes like Hefker. Everybody's miyash from it. They're not assuming they're going to get it, and therefore from the Hefker that this Kohen is making on the Matnas Kuhuna, he'll get it. This is also an interesting discussion. If there's a person who, Baruch Hashem, has the concept of Makiri Kuhuna Leviya, if there's a person who has always had boys and he always asked a certain moil to be the moil at the bris, can he ask somebody else to be the moil? And it might be connected to the way we just learned the Gemara. If it's understood that it's as if it's his already, the halach is that certainly it should go to that person. If we don't take such a strong approach, maybe not, but the halach is that certainly one should try to use the same oil. The Ramah discusses that if you ask somebody to be a oil, and then you change your mind, it's not the right thing to do. The Ramah and Simon in Yeridei Simon Resh Memdes of Aleph says, if you ask somebody to be the oil, you shouldn't retract. However, and therefore the Taz says that, let's say you ask somebody to be the moil at your son's bris, and then a great Talmud Chacham comes, and that Talmud Chacham, if you would have known, explains the Taz, that he was coming, you would have never asked the first moil to be the moil. The halacha is you could ask the second person to be the moil. However, the Chasam Sofer attaches a number of conditions to this psak. It's only when indeed the father was not aware that this moil, the Talmud Chacham, was going to show up. Another condition, the Chasam Sofer, is that it's only when it's at least a couple of days. You can't change your mind in the last, before the bris. You can't change your mind in the last moment. And also he says that if the Moel, who you asked to be the Moel, won't have any financial loss. What does that mean? First of all, let's say he gave up another opportunity, then you can't take him away. Or let's say he traveled and it cost him expenses, you can't take it away. And then the Chassam Sofer also adds that if this will cause embarrassment to this first Moel, then you shouldn't do so. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Sefer Ikalabei Mayachim Vereider Rav Chana Bar Idi. They came to the home of Mayachim Vereider Rav Chana Bar Idi. V'amrilei Labei Mayachim Vereider Rav Chana Bar Bizna. Avdu Igla Tulsa, he made them an Igla Tulsa. Very often do we have this concept of an Igla Tulsa. Some say it's the calf that's a third grown. Once the calf is a third grown, that's when it is best. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw in Igla Tilsa is that it's the calf that's born third, the third born calf to its mother is the best calf. Another pshat is that it's just a good calf. And because it's a good calf, that's what he made. Of the way, Tilsa. And then Amalei Rava L'Shamei, Rava said, the way the Rashi learns, Rava said to the waiter in that home, who was a Kohen, and is entitled to the Matnas Kuhuna, Zakan Lamba Matanasi, give me a right to eat the Matnas Kuhuna of this animal. The main Lamech Lishna Bechardla, as we just said before, the tongue is part of the Matnas Kuhuna, and I want to have the delicacy of eating tongue and mustard. Zochle, and that's what he did, and says the Gemara, Rava Ochel, Rava ate, and Rav Safra Loi Ochel. So there's a few questions. One question is, if this waiter was a Kohen, so how can we allow a Kohen to be a waiter? So the Magen Avraham says, from here we see that a Kohen has a right to be Meichel, his kuhuna, if that's his job. Another pshat is that a Kohen, this halacha doesn't apply by a Kohen who's an Am Haaretz. This Gemara also opens up the discussion, was Rava himself a Kohen? Some suggest that from here we see the Rava wasn't a Kohen. Others suggest the Rava was a Kohen, but this Shamish was the Makiri Kuhuna. He was the one that always got the shear. And therefore, since he was always the one that got the shear, so he got it, but Rava wanted to have an opportunity. So Safra refused to eat. Says the Gemara, Akur l'Safra b'chalma, Safra saw in a dream, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ma'ara bega b'yoyim kara, Chaimetz al Neser, like a worn-out garment that's worn on a cold day, or like putting vinegar on a vessel that will ruin it. The Shar b'Shira Malevra, the same with somebody is considered somebody who has a bad heart. Asla Kameder of Yosef, so he got a bad message, and he wanted to understand what was the message. The reason I'm got this difficult message is because I didn't follow what Rava said, and that's inappropriate. So the said Rav Yossi that I said that this is mutter ba'acher. That's only with a different shama ba'kar chmezake. If somebody when did I say that somebody the kohen should voluntarily give his matnas kuhuna to a poor person is when he does so voluntarily. Bal karchem azake, Shama, this waiter, didn't do it voluntarily. Bal karchem azake, he did it because his employer told him to do so. Ki amri, furthermore, when did I say that this is an appropriate way of doing? Lamandalay efshalay, somebody wouldn't get matnas kuhuna anyway. Ha, the efshalay, you could have. Rava could have gotten the meat in a different way. Rava doesn't need this meat that desperately that he should be or that he should do this. So if asked the Gemara, so it turns out that Rav Safra did the right thing and Rava didn't do the right thing. So why did Rav Safra get this message? Elamai Tam Akin Hachi says the Gemara Klapi Rava. It wasn't meant to Rav Safra, it was meant to Rava. So ask the Gemara if it was meant for Rava, the Likle Rava. So then Rava should have gotten the message. Answers the Gemara, Rava Nozav Hava. And Rashi gives two pshatim. One pshat is that they did not want to send messages, the Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to send messages to Rava because of this. He didn't act properly, so he didn't deserve to get messages. Another is based on a Gemara Masechta Tanis that there was a person that in the Beis Din Rava was supposed to get Malkus, and Rava gave him Malkus and he died. And what happened was that Rava proved that to them that it made him rain in the summer, when the Middle East it doesn't rain in the summer, which is not something that he should have made HaKadosh Baruch Hu do. That's why Hashem wasn't sending him messages. Omalei Bailer of Divin Lana, we learned the Pasuk. Asked about Pasht the Krob and Mike Siv. What is the Pasuk to speak about? Omalei Latalmud Shana, Mishana Latalmud Shana Hagen. Teaching a Talmud that isn't a good Talmud. Omalei Yehuda, Omalei Rav Kol Shana Latalmud Shana Hagen. Somebody teaches Torah to somebody who shouldn't be taught Torah. Neufel Begehenim Shnemar. Kol Choysha Tamu Tzvunov. Techleu Eish Loi Nupach Yeris Srid Baolai. Ain't Srid Al Talmud Chach Shnem Besridim Ashikari Beshem. The Pasuk says that somebody who has a Talmud who's not good, is some you should not teach him Torah. And in fact, says the Gemara, Amar Zayir Amar Rav, Kol Shana Talmud Shana Hogem. If you teach Torah to a Talmud like this, it kizarik evel makulus. It's like he's throwing a stone on avodah zarah. And as the Mefarshim all explain, we know that Gemara always says that the way they worship the avodah zarah is that by putting a stone on it. So this person is throwing the stone. And what his goal in throwing the stone is to embarrass the Avodah Zarah. But doesn't make a difference. That you think you're doing something good, but you're really doing something bad. Here too, you think by teaching Talmud who's not good, you're doing something good, but you're really not, you're doing something bad. Shenemar, Tetzrar Evan Balgema, Kenos Laksil Kovid. Ain't Kovid Al Torah, Shenem Kvayr Acham Yichalu, Tamim Yichal Toy. Trying to teach Torah to somebody like that is unacceptable. Somebody who does a favor for somebody who doesn't recognize it is the same. You should do it in a way that there's a purpose in doing it. So Agamara has taught that one should not teach Torah to Talmud Shena Hogan. And if he does so, he's Neufel L'Gehenim. And I saw that the Sefer Birka Shalom asked the question that we know that the Gemara, essentially what it's saying is that Matak Shalai Lashma, Baal Lashma. So here, teaching a Talmud like that, even though it's not going to be with a lot of purpose, but there could be purpose down the road. So therefore, the Birka Shalom and others I saw explained that the definition of a Talmud Hogim, a Shana Hogim, is not a Talmud who's not right now a Talmud Chacham. We don't see that he has any proper attitude to his learning. But if a person has a proper attitude to his learning, even though right now he's not holding any real level on learning, of course we have every obligation to teach him Torah. And in fact, the Cheshukei Chemed here has a very serious discussion about opening a yeshiva just for Talmidim who are Iluyim, just for Talmidim who are great Talmid Chachamim. And he says that we know the famous Gemara that Rabbi Gamliel, when he was the Nasi, they did not allow only somebody into the yeshiva was Toichei Kabaroi. And therefore, he says that when Rabbi Gamliel was removed, there were so many new Talmidim that joined that even Rabbi Gamliel felt bad that it shouldn't be done. And he quotes, the Cheshukei Chemed quotes Rav Moshe Schneider, a famous Rosh Yeshiva in London, that a yeshiva should be made up of a third of Talmidim who have great abilities, a third of Talmidim who are masmidim, and a third who are not even necessarily so excellent in learning, but they're Yirei Shemayim. And one type of person will help the other one grow. And in fact, he quotes the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish was also asked the question, should we open a yeshiva only for top learners? The Chazon Ish said, if that's the way the yeshivas would have been, then the greatest Talmid Chachamim, who weren't necessarily the smartest people, would have never developed, and Klal Yisrael would have lost those people forever. And he quotes Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zatzal, where Rabbi Aaron Kotler felt that specifically by learning in a yeshiva, and the yeshiva has all types of Talmidim with all different strengths and weaknesses, the only way, Rav Aaron Kotler said, somebody we could grow in learning is the way we grow in learning is by everybody in the yeshiva joining together, each one with his strengths and maybe each one with his weaknesses, and together we will get a great product. We learned in the Mishnah, Mishtatef Imanim, if a Yisrael becomes a partner with a Nachri or a Kayin, Tzarech Lishem, he has to make a sign to prove that everybody should know that that's the case here, and that's why Matnas Kuna is not being given. Says the Gemara, V'yafilim emavik kechavim, is that true that even if you're partner with a Nachri, so is the Locha? For a minute, ask the Gemara, says in the Braisa, Mishtatef Kayin, Tzarech Lishem. Mishtatef emavik kechavim, Psule Mekdashim, where you're selling animals that became balmum, and they can't be brought on Mizbeach, and they were redeemed and they're sold. The halacha is ain't tzarech lishem, there's no reason to make a sign. And it says the Gemara, the reason in that price you don't have to make special mark is Hachmaskin the Yosakhamachta. The Nachri sitting in the store, and therefore everybody realizes that the Nachri is a partner. So ask the Gemara if by the Nachri sitting in the store, that's why everybody realizes the Kavasag of a Kayin. The Yosva Machtcha, let's speak about a case where the Kayin is sitting in the store. A Maitzar Chlisham, why would we need to make a sign? And it's the Gemara, because the Kayin's sitting in the store, the Amri, Bisra Kazov, and he's sitting there because he wants to buy meat, not because he's a partner. Says the Gemara, if that's the way people will look at it, the Nachri being there, people are going to say he's there because he just wants to buy meat. Says the Gemara, the Nachri is sitting by the cash register. So by sitting at the cash register, it's obvious that he's interested, that he's a partner here. So ask the Gemara, the Kavasag Abakoyin. Also the Yosva Kaspasa, if he's sitting by the cash register, a Maitzar Chlershim. Why does he have to make a sign? The fact that he's sitting by the register is a proof that he's a partner. Says the Gemara, the fact that he's sitting by the cash register doesn't mean anything. Amri, they let him sit there because he's an honest person. So ask the Gemara, so if that's not a proof, so the same thing should be said by Amri Hamuni Hamini. He's sitting there because they trust him. Not that it's a proof. Says the Gemara, nobody trusts them. Nobody's going to say you let a Nachri sit by the cash register and because you trust him. Ibai Seima, a different teretz. The Nachri and the Kayin are in the store. But the difference between the Nachri and the Kayin, the Nachri is going to be making announcement, making noise. What does it mean he makes noise? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is he's yelling and giving orders, don't do this, do this. A Kayin is much more edel. He won't be doing that. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that if a Nachri is a partner in this business, Mifei Pai, he's going to let everybody know he's a partner. Whereas as a Kayin, won't necessarily act that way. Amamar continues the Gemara, Psulam Mekdashim Ein Tzarech Lishem. You don't have to make a sign by Psulam Mekdashim that they're not Chai Matnas Kuna. Alma Muchamilsa. It's obvious that everybody knows it's Psulam Mekdashim. Ask the Gemara Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Becharis, Psula Mekdashim, Nimkarim Be'etlis, V'Nishchat Be'etlis, Nishkalim Be'litra. So, there's no way of knowing. It's sold in the regular fashion. So how will it be obvious that it's Psula Mekdashim? Tergmer Adbar Hava Kamedra Papa, Ba'isim Nukarim Tocha Ba'is. As the way to Rishonim explain. Certain Psula Mekdashim, where the proceeds are going to go to Hegdish, were sold in a store. Because that's where you're going to get the most money for them. But then there are psulim mekdashim that are sold at home, the bechor. So since they're not going to be sold in the privacy of the home, because the proceeds go to the kayin, and therefore that's why there's in those psulim mekdashim that are sold in the home, there's no need to make a simon. The fact that it's sold at home is the best simon. And indeed, the psulim mekdashim that are sold in a butcher shop has to have a simon. Amar avuna shutta b'roish, if the kayin is a shutta in the head of the animal, potam and alechi, then the matas kun of the lechi doesn't have to give him. Shutta b'yad, if the kayin is a partner in the hand of the animal, potam is roya. Shutta b'nei mayin, if he's a partner in the intestines, potam and akeva. As soon as the kohen is a part in any one of these parts of the animal, potam mikulin, you don't have to give any matnas kuna. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, if a kohen sold an animal to Yisrael, and he said, haroishali, I'm still keeping the head, v'kul shalach, and you keep the rest of the animal. The halach is, afilo echem emei b'roish, even if the kohen retained a small percentage, potter, you don't have to give matas kuna. Hayachli, similarly, if the kohen retained ownership in the zroya, v'kul shalach, again, afilo echem emei b'yad potter. If you sell b'nei ma'ayim shali, v'kul shalcha, I'm selling you the animal, and just keep it for myself, I feel echem memei behen, just 1%, he's potter. My laugh, potter men alechi v'chai b'kulon. You're only potter from the part, the kind, you don't have to give matnas kuna from the part that you kept, but from everything else, you will have to give. Says the Gemara, my laugh, potter men alechi v'chai b'kulon, potter men azroi v'chai b'kulon, potter men akev v'chai b'kulon. So this will be a question on the opinion of Chibar Rav, says Merloy. The way to understand it is, as soon as the coin is a partner, even in any small part, then the halacha is that he doesn't. There's no matnas kuna. So if that's what it says, if that's what's meant, ask the Gemara for listening. So the Braisa should have said so. Potamikulan. Furthermore, ask the Gemara Chibar Rav. Oid. Time the Braisa says haroi shali v'kula shacha. I feel echem mei barosh potam nalechi. And here the Braisa clearly says that only from the matnas kuna on the head will this person be exempt. But chai b'kulan, says the Gemara. Tiyufta the Chibar Rav. Tiyufta Chibar Rav is clearly refuted. But says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, ha masnis atiyasa. What caused Chibar Rav to make this error? Ha masnis atiyasa l'Chibar Rav. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Esav Arba Matnas Kuna Hain, the 24 Matnas Kuhuna, v'kulan nitnul aron l'vona v'klal prat. They were taught first in a klal, and then they were said specifically, and in all of them, there's a bris melech, that this will remain with the Kohanim forever. Why was it taught by klal prat to klal? So Rashi explains that we know that the Torah, the whole Torah is taught by klal prat to klal. And we learn here that somebody who keeps the matnas kuna is considered like you mekayim kol haTorah kula. Kol mekayim kol mekayim klal prat ubris melech v'kol oivah leihem. And if somebody who chas v'shalom violates these halachas is kol oivah klal prat, which is like violating Chas v'Shalom the whole Torah, and violating the Bris Melech, the eternity of Torah. Violate Esther b'Migdash, the 10 that apply in the base of Migdash, Arba in Yerushalayim, Vesa b'Gvulim outside of Eretz Yisrael. Esther b'Migdash, Karmi Chattas, Chattas Oif, Oshem Vaday, Oshem Toloi, Zivchei Shal Mitzvibur, which is the two Kabbonis, the two Kfasim that are brought on Shavuos, Lloyd Shemesh, the Mitzvah, that the Mitzvah brings when he begins his purification process, the Shtei Lechem that are brought on Shavuos, the Lechem upon him every Shabbos, the Shiori HaMincha, we spoke earlier that the Kaim is burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest of the Mincha is given to the Kohanim, or Minchas HaOmer, that's brought on the second day of Shavuos. Those are all Matnas Kuna in the Beis HaMikdash. Arba Yerushalayim, HaBechayra, is given to the Kohen, Bikurim, Murim and Atoidim and Eila Ozer that are given to the Kohanim. Virus HaKotshim, the oil of all Kotshim are given to the Kohanim. Esesh Begulim, Truma, Trumas Maisa, 10% of the Maisa Rishon. Chala, Reishas Agez, which we're going to learn in the next parak. The wool that's taking all off. Matonis, the Zroel Lechaim Vekeviva. Pidyan Aben, Pidyan Petach Amar, Stei Achuza. If somebody has a field that he got as Yerusha in his family, and then he was Magdashit, if he didn't redeem it, and the Hegdash sold it, when it goes at the Nyoivel, it's divided amongst the Kahanim of that Mishmar, the Sadech HaRomim, if somebody makes a field into a Cherim, it's sold and the proceeds go to the Kahanim, the Gezla Ger, if somebody stole from a Ger, swore falsely denying it, and now he has to return with a Karen Chaimish, but a Ger doesn't necessarily have any Yorshim, it goes to the Kahanim. So says the Gemara, how did Chibar Rav make his error? Husav Midika Choshle Matanis Ba'adah, he mentioned all the Matanis together, Chodininu, that's all one thing, and we don't separate the Roish and the Zroya and the Keva, V'lohi. Otam Mur Matayit Ve'el Nozul Dekah Choshle Kichadah. Mishum dechadu nenu. Are they considered one? Of course not. The Toid is a Toid and the El Nazir is a Nazir. Al Kivin da Damil Adadi. But just because they're similar, that's why Chashla Kachado, the group together. Hachanami, so too, but it's Royal Chayv Keva. Kivin da Damil Adadi, since they're similar, Chashla Kachado. Iboilu, ask the Gemara if when a kohen sold an animal to Yisrael, he said, at Roish Shalcha, the Kul Shali, the head will be yours and the rest of the animal will be mine. Mao, Bosach Chiyuv Azrinim, do we go after the head? And the entire head, Chiyuv Gab Yisrael, is by Yisrael, and therefore there would be a Chiyuv to give the Lecha'ayim to the kohen. Adama Bosach Ikka Behem Azrinim, we follow most of the animal. Most of the animal here was retained by the kohen, and therefore it could be the kohen, there won't be matzkin. Toshma, the brayse says, "Ovik chacham a kohen shemasu tzayim l'Yisrael ligzoyz." If Ovik chacham a kohen asked the Jew to cut the wool, potter, because they're not chayv and rachis ageis. Halakay ageis tzayim shel Ovik chachavim. If somebody bought the wool, but the animal remains with the nachri, potter merachis ageis, then he doesn't have to give rachis ageis. By Zroel Chaim Vakeva, if the animal belongs to the Kohen and the head belongs to the Yisrael, then he's going to be Chayiv in L'chaim. And if the body belongs to the Kohen and the wool belongs to Yisrael, there is no Rishus Ageis. But what do we see from here? Shema Mino, Basach Yuv is Linen. We look who has what. And if the Yisrael has the Rosh, then it's considered that it belongs to the Yisrael, and he's going to have, even though the rest of the animal belongs to the Kohen, Bosach Yuv is Linen, he's going to have to give the L'chaim as a Rosh Hashanah, as Matnas Kuno, Shema Minah.